Let's go ahead and turn over in our Bibles to 2 Corinthians 11. I mean, honestly, I'd like to preach the message I preached last night, but anyways, on gospel preaching volunteers, amen, just dealing with the fact that we are invited to preach the gospel, and if we will receive that that invitation and follow through joyfully, how richly God will reward each and every one of us that will do really. I think that's the one thing that, I mean, it's the heartbeat of God, amen. He would that none would perish, but that all would come to repentance. And so when we engage in that ministry, it's just amazing how God will reward that faithful doer, amen. And so, anyway, 2 Corinthians chapter number 11, and the title tonight is Christianity is Simple, Don't Make It Complicated, amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and in verse number 3. Bible says, but I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Amen. Let's pray. Thank you, dear God, for this opportunity once again now to open your word and to preach the wonderful truths in it. God, I pray that you take control of the service. God, use it for your glory. Thank you for the good song service, Lord. And love that song, Man of Sorrows. Oh, God, as it reminds us, Lord, of how just amazing Jesus Christ is, has been, continues to be, Lord, and all that he went through. And Lord, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And God, we thank you for the work that was wrought on a cross at Calvary that we might be born again. We thank you, dear God, for our wonderful Savior. And God, I pray that you bless richly this night. And we thank you, God, for your grace. We thank you for opportunity to be able to be led through the scriptures by the Holy Spirit of God tonight. And we require that tonight. We need that, else we'll just be wasting our time tonight if you don't show up and help us. So God, please, I pray, move mightily amongst us and help us, Lord, to see. Lord, it's possible that there are some here tonight that have complicated things in their lives, and they've made their life and their life as a Christian, they've made it difficult. They've made it complicated. Lord, you testify, God, that we can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth us, and that your yoke is easy. And Lord, you've invited us unto a great exchange, Lord, our burden for yours. And God, you said that you would help us. You'd carry us through, God, that God, you would lead us, you guide us, you'd be our hope. And God, you'd be the power of our lives. God, all power is given to me in heaven and in earth. And that's the whole reason we can even go as far as the Great Commission is concerned, because it's your power, it's your might, it's your understanding, it's your knowledge, it's your direction, it's your everything, God. And we just need to go as willing vessels, Lord, and not try to muddy the waters, not try to make it hard, Lord. It's just not. It's easy when we follow you and do it by thy grace and thy power. God, help us tonight to see that. And Lord, we'll just thank you, God, for what you do tonight. We need your help tonight. We ask for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Once again, in this text, it says in 2 Corinthians 11, 3, Paul here says, but I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. You know, I've been talking to that Greg McBride. You continue, please pray for that gentleman that actually was given my contact info from Rabbi Yisrael Gettinger, and talking to him again tonight, just texting back and forth. And boy, he's complicated some things, amen. And it's just been amazing. He actually texted tonight, and I think he tried to get me. I think he tried to trip me up a little bit. And he asked what I normally preach for Easter. I don't even believe in Easter. It's a pagan holiday, so I was like, that's easy. I don't preach anything for Easter, amen. I think he was surprised. I think he's kind of hoping to catch me on that one, amen, because most Protestants, of course, would hold up Easter and do all kinds of crazy things. But we preach the Passover. Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of the Passover. Easter's mentioned one time in the Bible, and it was seen more from the Greeks. It wasn't anything that had to do with Christ. Amen. We've made it out to that, but Easter's totally set on a solar calendar, not a lunar calendar. It's just totally different. Amen. And so that was interesting. So I got to say, no. He said, well, what do you, then I mentioned, I basically preach on the Passover, and I goes, well, what do you preach on that? So that was great. So I got to introduce, I said, well, I preach on how Jesus Christ is an absolute, complete fulfillment of every aspect of the Passover lamb. And so if you know, if just following how all this is going with him, that was really, really interesting. But then we kind of really morphed into a lot of other things, and it was great. But He just has complicated so many things, complicated things. But you know, it's not just him. All of us do it in some aspect of our lives. We make things difficult and we make things bigger than they are. Let me ask you a question. Is there any situation that we go through that is big in the eyes of God? No. Is there any problem that is so big that God's going, oh man, what in the world? How are we going to get through this one? No. You see, when you begin to see things from God's perspective, everything becomes simple. Everything becomes doable. Everything becomes easy, if you will, right? And so that's the whole point. And even being pointed back here to the Garden of Eden, when the Satan, through his subtlety, began to ask questions. And you have to be really careful with questions, because questions can take you down some paths that before you look up, you're so deep into the woods, you don't even know where you're at. Amen. And so you want to be really, really careful that you don't let people take you down that path to where they're taking you down a path to where it's compounding difficulty to where when you finally get to the end of that road, there is no answer, right? And I don't know how to talk to people like that. I don't know how to talk to those that get to that place that, quite honestly, they're stuck and they're not going to receive a solution. And whenever you do give them the simplistic solution, they don't take it because they say, oh, that's too easy. For a lot of people, salvation's too easy, right? Really, and so this is what Paul's talking about, the fact that we're not to be corrupted through the subtlety of the wicked one into a place that we are removed from the simplicity in Jesus Christ. Here's the simplicity in Jesus Christ. He has done everything for us. He's offered unto us his power, his direction, his might. He's given us the Holy Spirit of God to live and dwell within us, amen, to lead us in all truth. And all we need to do is simply read his word and follow it. Just obey it. Is it more complicated than that? It's not. It's absolutely not complicated. Let's look at salvation very quickly. Look over at Matthew 18. Just want to show you a couple things, how simple things actually are tonight. Not going to be long tonight, but how simple things are in the Christian's life. Amen. I don't know about you, but anytime I come up against something that seems complex, my inkling would be, let's break that thing down into simpler parts, right? So we can solve it. That's the whole thing. How do you eat an elephant, right? One bite at a time. What's that mean? It means if you come up against something that seems so big you can't really grasp it, well, then we break that thing down into smaller parts that we can grasp, and we begin to work on it one piece at a time. That's very biblical. That's how God does things. Amen. And so anytime you begin to look at something and it's overwhelming to you, what you need to do is step back and take a smaller chunk of that and start working those smaller chunks. And before you know it, that big thing that used to be a big problem is no longer a big problem, because you've really whittled away at it one part at a time, if that makes sense. Amen? And so salvation is very simple. Matthew 18, verse 20, verse number two. Matthew 18, verse 2 says, "And Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them and said, Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven." There's a lot here in this text. Just to point out, quite honestly, we get saved with a childlike faith. And then beyond that, we grow in Christ with a childlike faith. And you say, well, what is a childlike faith? A childlike faith is one who has a father that they trust, and they just hear what dad says, and they just believe it. Dad said it. It's got to be true. Childlike faith. And then you just act upon those words. So if the word of God tells you your condition as a sinner, you believe it. That is my condition. If God says I'm a sinner, I'm a sinner. If God says that the wage of sin is death, that's the wage. I don't got to try to figure it out. I know it's true because my father said it, or God said it before I'm saved, right? And so I'm a sinner. Well, what did God do about it? Well, he sent Jesus Christ to earth. And what did he do? He died on a cross and shed his blood and went in the grave, and then 3 days later rose from the dead. And in doing so, he conquered sin, death, hell. And then he took his own blood up to the mercy seat of God of heaven. He sprinkled that there and made a propitiation for our sins so that we can be forgiven. Because without the shedding of blood, there is no remission, right? It requires that blood sacrifice. And so that's been done, right? What must I do to receive that? How can that be imputed to my account? Believe. Just simply repent of your sin and believe the gospel. Just believe it. And if you'll do that, then the Bible says you'll be saved. Sounds pretty simple. Right? It's not difficult. Who makes it difficult is you and I. He's like, oh, I just don't know that it can be that easy. Or I don't believe I'm a sinner. You start throwing these things into it all, and then it begins to seem complicated. But salvation is not complicated. It's so simple that even a young child can be saved. Amen? What a blessing. So don't make salvation complicated. It's really simple. How about the gospel message itself, as we just talked about? You know, in Mark 1:15, Jesus simply said, the time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. That's simple. Paul would then further state that he preached repentance and faith. It's really, being saved is simple. The gospel message is simple. How to receive that is simple. How to become a Christian is simple. And how to grow as a Christian is very simple. Think about that simplicity of growth. 2 Timothy chapter 2 tells us, and you might know this in verse number 15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So what's our part in that text? Study. Let me ask you a question. Are you growing as a Christian? I mean, if you were to look, we're almost at the end of this year. 2022 is, tomorrow will be the beginning of the last month of the year. And if you were to look back over the whole year, could you say, I have grown in my Christianity? I've grown as a Christian. I've grown in maturity. I've learned some things. I've put away some things which were besetting to me. I've put away some sins I once struggled with. And I'm more faithful now. That's really a gauge of if we've grown or not. Whether or not we're more faithful to the things of God or not. Can you say that? Can I say, if you haven't grown, then the next question would be, have you studied? And if you haven't, that'd be a good reason why you wouldn't have grown, right? Because growth is not based on me. It's based on more Word of God getting into me. Right? And so the more Word of God that enters in and discerns me, right? The Word, remember, it's quick, it's powerful, it's sharper than any two-edged sword. It's piercing, dividing, or center of soul and spirit, and the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner, Hebrews says, of the thoughts and intents of the heart. We need something to discern us, because we're really good at not letting people discern us. We're really good at shifting things, you know, deflecting things. And we isolate ourselves from being in that vulnerable place with people. We can't isolate ourselves from being vulnerable to the Word of God, amen? Because the Bible says we are naked and open unto it, because it knows us through and through. And so you and I, if we're going to grow, we need that Word of God flowing through us, amen? A good way to study would be When you're at a service, Sunday school, you know, one of the services and all that, take notes, and then you've already been given some things there, and then take that, you've already got a good foundation laid there, then go further study that out. Say, because you might say, I just don't know what to study. Well, start there, because God knew what He was doing when He picked the topic to be preached for whoever's preaching. And you're amongst the congregation, so it must be for you as well. And so just start there, get a notebook and take notes during the preaching. And Mike has preached some tremendous messages over the last few weeks, amen, on Sunday nights. It's been tremendous. I've learned much from that. I love it, amen. And some of y'all as well, this is good. I love sitting in Brother John Haley's Sunday school class. I hear some great things. And it's like, oh, man, that's good. And I have to sit there and ponder and think and sometimes go back and further study. But that's how we grow. The work has already been done to get you on topic. The groundwork has already been worked through from the preacher to even get you past the surface level of that topic. So you take notes, and then you go back in your study and you dig through what the preacher was saying. That's a great way to study. And you're not just starting at zero there. You're actually starting at, you know, well beyond that, if you'll just do that. And so if you'll do that an entire year, then you won't be able to help but to grow. So growth is simple. There's always a part that we play, but our part's easy. Amen? And in reference to taking notes and doing some things, you can do that. You're already here. That's the hard part. You're present already. And if you started really engaging like that, maybe some of you do, that's wonderful. I've heard people say, man, church used to be so long until I got interested. Some of you young people can't even sit through a whole service. You have to get up at some point. It's like you got like ADHD on steroids, amen. Well, discipline yourself. Tell your flesh to stop it. You can hold it. Amen. And if you got some physical problem, go ahead and just give me the doctor's note. But if not, then endure. Come on. I mean, we're only talking an hour or so. What are you going to do if you're called to preach? Excuse me? No. Amen. That might happen at one point. That wouldn't be a good routine to get into. Amen. Take five. I mean, that's, no. So discipline yourself. If in the midst of a message you're running out, there's no way you're getting anything from that whole message. You're just not. You're not. And so take this thing seriously, this thing of growth. It's simple to grow, but most people make it really complicated. Really complicated. You see, just study. Just study and use what you're already doing. Amen. Add to that. Dig a little bit. Amen. 2 Timothy 2:22 then, which says this. If you're going to grow, you're going to have to flee youthful lusts, but follow after righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. You might need to turn the video games off a little bit. Amen. I just don't have time to study. And I got plenty of time to do. No, you don't. No. Flee youthful lusts and follow after the things that God's. So if you'll just follow after what's right and you'll study, you'll grow as a Christian. Amen. Amen. How about the simplicity in parenting? I threw that one in there just for the fun of it. Amen. Because everybody likes to say, oh, it's so hard to be a parent. No, it's not. We make it hard. Is it hard? Nothing's hard. Is it hard for God? Is God struggling? Man, I just don't know what to do with those kids. I mean, the kids today. Is God saying, man, the kids today, they're just out of control? No, God's not saying that. And people that say, I wish God would have gave us a manual for raising kids. He did. It's right here. The manual for life. All things that pertain to life and godliness. He gave us a manual, amen. Open it. Listen to the simplicity of parents. I'll tell you how easy it is. Ephesians 6:4. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. There it is. That is the premise of being a parent, as a father. Don't provoke your children to wrath, amen. Don't lose it, amen. Don't get so frustrated that you take it out on your. Don't provoke them. Don't move them to wrath. Move them, provoke them to love and to good works, amen. And bring them up in the nurture. Nurture is simply this. Nurture is teaching them two things: cause and effect, and teaching them how to respond to pain. So where do you get that from? I wrote a couple passages down. Amen. Listen, that's all nurturing is teaching them those couple things. The Bible says in Proverbs 22, train up a child in the way he should go. Say, I don't know how he should go. That's why you need to be a student of the book. Because the Bible's going to tell you the way that they should go. And then you train them. You disciple them as you discipline them. Build discipline. Say, when should I start? Man, as soon as they're breathing air, amen. That's when you start, amen. Because it'll get away from you quick if you don't watch it. And then it says Proverbs 22:15 says, foolishness is bound in the heart of the child. Say, my children are not foolish. Then you're calling God a liar. All of our children start out foolish. They do foolish things They do stupid things is what they do. Amen. They just do. That's not an insult. That's just Bible. Amen. Foolishness is bound in the heart of the child. How do we get that out? Well, it says, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. So I don't like that. Oh, then you don't love your kids. Because child training is easy if we don't make it complicated. If you just follow the book, if you have faith of a child, just follow it. Just follow it. How about this? Proverbs 23:13. Withhold not correction from the child. This is amazing. For if thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die. Thou shalt beat him with the rod and shalt deliver his soul from hell. If you don't train your children early what it means to obey, and if you don't put some ground rules in there and hold them to it, when God comes calling, I'm telling you, they're not going to respond. There's not. This is more than you just trying to train them for you. This training a child is not about the parent. It's about the child and about God. Amen? And so child training is easy if we just follow the book, even when you're tired. All the time, not just in public, not just in the store, or no, somebody's like, you embarrassed me. Well, they probably already done embarrassed you a lot at home too. You just didn't have anybody else seeing, so you let that little kid hit you and spit on you and pull your hair and all those things, amen, God forbid. You let them do that to you. You're not training them. You're making it complicated. So what you need to do is get simple in your child training. Just get back to the book. Amen? How about this? The simplicity of being a child. James. Woohoo! You can't sleep through this one, buddy. Sorry, man, if you didn't get sleep, should have slept through school or something. Don't sleep at church, amen? Amen. All right. Amen. Amen. All right. The simplicity of being a child. Listen to this, children. Children. Obey your parents in the Lord. How hard is that? You make it hard because you think you know more than them. And I'll be honest with you, you might. You might know more than them. It doesn't say that it's a given that your parents can be smarter than you. You may be smarter than your parents. Chances are you're not, but it might happen that you are. Right? What should I do? Obey them anyway. Amen? Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. How easy is that? Stop making it complicated. Stop arguing. You could get rid of all the argument in the home if you just listen to that verse. Amen. Honor thy father and thy mother. Just honor them. Hold them in high regard. Amen. How hard is that? Stop treating them like they're some lackey on a playground somewhere. Amen. They're your mom and dad. Amen. So treat them with honor. They got to put up with you. Amen. Amen. And then it says this, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. There's a promise there. God will give you a long life if you just follow that. Amen. That's simple to be a child. We make it complicated when we choose not to obey or not to honor. That's when it gets complicated. If we would just follow what the Bible says, it'd be easy. Amen. The simplicity of marriage. Colossians chapter 3. You might want to turn over there for that one. This one. The simplicity of marriage. Why do we make things so complicated? Colossians 3, verse 18. It's just a full meal deal right here in these two verses. Wives? Sorry. No, I'm not. It's the word of God. Amen. It's good. Submit yourselves unto your own husband. Say, he's a deadbeat. You married him. I mean, I'm sorry that you were, absent-minded the day you said yes. I can't do anything about that. Amen. We're here now. Amen. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Man, there's a lot right there in those two verses. You say, why does the Bible have to command the wife to submit to their husband? Because guys are, I mean, we do a lot of dumb things, amen. And the wife, you know, sometimes find things out and hang on to things and all that and has all kinds of reasons in the world not just to just submit. And I know there's some cases there, some different things where abuse and all that. That's totally, I get it. We need to work through those things, amen. But the general rule for a wife is to arrange themselves under the order of their husbands as they minister and serve God together, amen. Just submit, just yield. And let him lead, amen. And by the way, I'm sure a lot of you ladies are smarter and at a lot of things than your husband. That's fine. Just approach those things right and figure that out together. But you can do that. You can be fully tapped into in your ability and still be in submission and in authority and in a proper role of authority. And husbands say, why is that to say for the husband to love their wife? Because honestly, you ladies are hard to love at times. I know you ladies think you're lovable. Man, there's a lot of passages that talk about you ladies, amen, in the bad times of your life, amen. You all can be pretty nasty. Just saying. I got quiet there. Rachel, did you hear that? I got quiet, like crickets. Because y'all know it's true. Y'all know it's true. And so you're hard to love at times. So what's God's commandment to the men? Love them anyway. Amen. Guys, we would do well just to love our wives. Amen. And don't be bitter against them. Why? Because they're going to do things against you that you can never imagine they'd do. Because they're ruthless at times. Amen. I'm just saying. God knows this. That's why he wrote it. God didn't say, women, don't get bitter at your husband. He said, men, don't get bitter at your wife. He said it for a reason. So, if you happen, men, get in that place where you feel justified, that's it. I'm not loving that woman. I mean, she's messed up one too many times. That's it. You just made life complicated. You'd say, can't stand that woman. Start getting bitter. You just made life complicated. Amen. Choose the easy route. Choose the simple life. Men, love your wife. Don't get bitter with it, Adam. Ladies, just submit. Simple. See how simple it is? That is a recipe for a simple marriage. Matter of fact, you couples, anytime you're having problems, just go back to that passage and say, are we fulfilling the simplicity of marriage? That's it. And you're going to find out, no, I'm not, but I'm justified. Okay, then you got a complicated marriage. But you don't have to have it that way. It can be simple. What about the simplicity of working a job? Titus chapter 2, verse 9. Titus chapter 2, verse 9. And then one other after this, and there's a bunch more we could cover. But I just want you to see tonight that life is simple. If we will just, with a childlike faith, just follow the word of God. That's it. That's all we have to do. God, listen to this. The hardest thing about life are all the decisions we have to make. You got a book that God's already made your decisions for you. It's not hard because we really don't have a lot of decisions to make. God's already made them for us. And when we get complicated is when we start second guessing the decisions he's already made for us. And we start trying to figure it out. We're like, well, if I do this, then they're going to do this. And then if they do that, then I need to do this. Because now you're being like a Pharisee. That's how they treated Jesus. I'd respond with this, but if I do that, then he's going to say, no, just simplify things. Stop trying to, you're not playing a chess match in life. God's already played it. We're just looking for, I love chess. And isn't it good when you can be taught from someone who's already knows it? I spent earlier this year, 6-7 months studying chess. I just wanted to learn it a little bit better, amen? And so I studied under this guy, got a program, and you know how I studied? I learned his moves. And he said, when you see this, and they've left this open, this is what you do. Next few moves, bang, checkmate. Love it. So I love to play NBL chess, amen. But anyway, it was amazing. I learned so much about it. And I've played chess since I was a little guy, amen. My brother used to beat me all the time. He's smarter than me. But the point is that when I studied how to be better at chess, what I did was I sat under someone smarter than me, and I learned his moves. And then all I got to do is repeat those moves, and I'm a winner, winner, chicken dinner. Amen? And that is exactly what life is all about. We got someone above us that's way smarter than us. He knows everything. He knows, I mean, he sees all the way past the tribulation period. He knows everything, every combination about everything, everywhere. And he's wrote us a book and tells us exactly what moves to do for every situation. We just need to follow his moves. We got a very simple life. Amen. The simplicity of working a job. Titus 2:9. Exhort servants to be obedient unto their masters and to please them well in all things. Not answering again. Let's just stop right there. You choose what job you work in our country, amen. Hallelujah for that. And if you're going to submit unto a boss, if you're going to work under a boss, don't make that boss's life miserable, amen. Just go in there, know what's expected of you, and make that guy or gal successful. That's all it takes to be a good employee. Go in there, know your job, be obedient to them, look at the manual, do your job like you're supposed to do it, and stop talking back. Right? That's what it says. It says not answering again. That's backtalk. Amen? And work to please them well. You're not there as an employee to get one over on your boss. A little tidbit. If the company fails, so do you. Hello? Why is it that all these employees are trying to soak what they can out of their employer, bankrupted them, amen? That's ridiculous, amen. That's totally against the word of God. No, we make them successful, amen. And so not answering again, not purloining. We're not just going to, in a sense, be lazy and just make it all about us and take, but showing all good fidelity that they may adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior in all things. The workplace is one of the best witnessing opportunities that y'all have. You're at your place of employment for a long time. Probably the better part of your week is spent there at that workplace. Use it for ministry. And if you'll engage in it, I know many of you do, and I praise the Lord for that. You engage it correctly, and your testimony goes before you. Your bosses love you. Amen? Because you're a hard worker. You're not a complainer. You're not making life hard on everybody. And then all the other people, they might not like you in the beginning because of that, but ultimately they'll see, hey, I like that guy too. And before it's all said and done, you will have an opportunity to witness to your coworkers about Jesus Christ. That's how it works. If we just keep it simple and follow God's word, it's right every time. How about this? Lastly, the simplicity of being a church member. I'm so glad that I get to be a member of McGregor Baptist Church. This is the church I first heard the gospel in. This room. I heard the gospel first in this room. This is the place I got to actually respond and get saved. I got born again in this room. I got baptized in that baptismal tank. Amen. And this is the only church I've ever been a member of. I don't count when I was growing up. My parents had me a part of, you know, the Catholic institution. I don't count that as necessary. I mean, I didn't choose that. This is the first institutional place, this church, this set of believers, the first group that I willfully chose to join myself to. Hallelujah. I love it. And so through the course of time, I've got to be so many things now, the pastor. It's wonderful, amen. But how do we be good church members? How do we become good church members? In Ephesians 4, verse number 1, this is really the pattern for it. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, Paul says to the church at Ephesus, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. Every one of us as church members, God has called us, he's gifted us within the body to be a member, a full functioning member that this body needs to fulfill its commission. Amen? So what should you do? Know your part
and then be faithful at it. Amen? So that's walk worthy of it. Walk worthy of the vocation, the job, wherewith you're called, with all lowliness and meekness. Not one of us has claimed to say we're better than anybody else. That's why there's not chairs on this platform. I don't lord over you. I'm part of the congregation. When I'm not up here preaching, I'm sitting right down in the congregation with you all. Why? I'm part of the church. And I don't ever want to get to thinking that I'm more important than you all are, because we're all in this thing together. We all have to think that way. We're just one. Listen, if your body had one member laying there, it ain't going to do nothing except die. The body is dependent on every other member. Amen? And so with all lowliness and meekness, look at this. It says with long suffering, means we suffer long with each other. Someone has an issue, we don't say, that's it, kick them out. No, we bear long with them on that, amen? Sometimes that might have to come to that point where some discipline needs done, but we long-suffering, forbearing one another. We help one another in love, like we did tonight, amen? Trying to help a brother and his family. Endeavoring, watch this, to keep the unity. Never divisive. Never getting to that place where you're trying to cause division and all. No. That's not what being a member is all about. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. I love Ephesians 4. It goes well beyond that. But that's how we are good church members. And it goes beyond that. You see, if we just follow the Bible on these things, it's all simple. Everything in life becomes very simple. Amen. Back to our text and we'll finish. 2 Corinthians 11:3. Paul said this to the Corinthians. He said, but I fear, 2 Corinthians 11:3, I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve. He tricked her. How did he trick her? By asking her some questions. And those questions caused them to doubt the word of God. Right? God said one commandment. Hey, that tree in the midst of the garden, don't eat of it. And the questions that the enemy posed to her got her questioning the very word of God. And as soon as that happens, you move away from the simplicity of the Christian life into the complexity of the carnal Christian life. Amen? But I fear, lest thou by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, oh, he was slick, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. As we close, I just want you to, in a sense, ask yourself one question. What is it in my life right now that is complicated? What is it? What is it in my life right now that is complicated, that I deem as being complicated? And once you have that, I want you to ask, what does the Bible say that I should be doing? How should I be responding to that thing that I see as complicated? What is God's direction on how to handle that? Chances are you're going to know exactly what he says, but for whatever reason, you've said in your own mind, I can't do that. And that's why it's complicated. And tonight, what you want to do is you want to say, God, I'm going to stop making it complicated. I'm just going to follow you in this because I know you're smarter than me. And if you'll do that, your life just got easy, simple. Amen. God, thank you for tonight. Thank you, God, for your goodness. Thank you, God, for how you work. Lord, I know that it's a simple message, really. But Lord, really one that I need to hear. And maybe some others too here also would have needed to hear. I don't know, but I know we're really good at making things complicated. We complicate church. We complicate our marriages. We complicate our families. We complicate our things at work. We complicate ministry. We complicate everything. We complicate absolutely everything. And we're really good at it because we allow the enemy to pose questions to us and take us down tangents that remove us from simply obeying the simple scriptures. God, help us with this tonight and help us to see it. And God, might it be tonight that you'll free somebody up from their complexity as they just yield to you in simplicity and in godly sincerity, as it says in one text. And God, I pray that you'd help us tonight. And Lord, give us grace and help us, Lord, where we would tend, our flesh would tend to rebuff from certain things. God, help us to even prove you on this. I love how you gave that to Malachi to said to prove him on in the area of giving. God, giving is simple. It's all yours anyway. And Lord, when you command, tell us to give, then we just listen to you in it and give without making it difficult, overthinking it. It's the same thing in giving. It's the same thing in everything, Lord. We just want to jump into your word and know the truth, and we know the truth will make us free. God, help us with this tonight. Move mightily, I pray in Jesus' name.